extinguishing the forest fire. With a pure, loving heart, Krishna paid obeisances to his parents and all the Brajavasis. By taking part in Krishna's enchanting pastimes, they crossed an ocean full of different mellows, including fear, curiosity, and bliss. Nanda, Yashoda, and Balaram warmly embraced the beloved of Vrindavan. The coward girls cast sidelong glances towards Krishna. The innocent cows encircled Krishna and looked at him for a long time with eyes full of tears and hearts full of delight. While smelling the pleasing fragrance of Krishna's body, the cows felt overwhelmed and happily licked him. It seemed that the cows inquired about Krishna's welfare by mooing with choked voices. Hearing the cheering of his friends submerged Krishna in an ocean of happiness. Then the subduer of Kaliya warmly embraced each of his boyfriends. That sweet lord who pleased the Brajavasis by living with them in Vrindavan relaxed on the riverbank to enjoy with his friends. Seeing the setting sun, Brajaraj Nanda announced, "Listen, it is almost night. I see the frightening darkness as a personification of Rudra. My glorious sun has restored the purity of this lake by removing the fiery poison. So let us spend the night here in this auspicious place." On hearing his words, everyone felt happy. The ladies and coward girls became ecstatic to again see the beautiful form of Krishna, which is more elegant than a monsoon cloud, ever youthful, full of joy, and attractive to all. By gazing at their captivating lord, the gopis felt relieved of their anguish and mental disturbance that had previously felt like the itching of a skin sore. Keeping Krishna in the center, the Brajavasis surrounded him in five circles. In the first circle, nearest Krishna, stood Brajaraja Nanda and the elderly gopas, and next to them, Yashoda and the coward boys assembled. The young gopis stood safely beside their mothers, and the married gopis remained near their mothers-in-law. The husbands of the loving gopis formed the second circle. The men in the third circle protected everyone with bows and arrows. Cows and calves comprised the fourth circle. Holding a variety of weapons, Braja's famous chivalrous soldiers formed the fifth circle. These five circles made a vyuha around Krishna. The Brajavasis spent half of the night discussing the incredible beauty of Krishna and a spectacular defeat of Kaliya. After they fell asleep, a sweet and pleasant time arrived. In the quiet hours of night, the eyes and minds of the gopis derived the fullest satisfaction from lovingly gazing at the attractive moon-like face of Krishna. Chandravali and the other gopi leaders relished a joyous festival for the eyes. The desire which Radha and Krishna had previously sprouted burst into bloom now that there was an opportunity for fulfillment. Eager to meet, Radha and Krishna extended their necks in anticipation. With their eyes locked in enchantment, they sported with each other through romantic glances. The lotuses of their eyes played seductively. First, Radha disturbed Krishna's vision with a sidelong glance. The agitation resembled the shaking of a lotus flower by the skittish movements of a wagtail bird. When Krishna opened the lotus of his sidelong glance, the flower of Radha's shyness reduced to a bud. Struck by these lotuses, Cupid's arrows forcefully returned to the god of love. As the curtain of darkness fell, the rising love between Radha and Krishna appeared as Cupid to envelop them. Chandravali and the other gopis thought, "Oh, Krishna is only giving his love to the daughter of Vrishabhanu." Suddenly, some other gopis who had remained awake discussing Krishna's pastimes cried loudly, "Oh, look, look, there's a great danger ahead." Hearing the commotion, the cows woke up and cautiously looked in all directions. The gopa leaders talked among themselves. "What is happening?" Those who were asleep awoke and shouted in alarm. Looking worriedly toward Krishna, the gopis said, "The nails of his feet are more worshipable than millions of our lives. Let there be no danger to him." Judging from their frightful glances, Krishna, the darling of Vrindavan, looked at them with love and assured them in a grave voice, "Fear not, fear not." Speculating about the impending calamity, the people said, "Is Kaliya seeking revenge and racing along the path besides the lake? Or is it a large group of wild elephants charging madly due to intoxication from playing in a mountain pool?" Then someone announced in a loud voice mixed with pain, "Hey, look! Come on, there's no way out! Surrounding us is a huge forest fire about to devour us! Fire! Fire!" On hearing this, Brajaraja Nanda became afraid. But remembering Garga Muni's words, he immediately approached his son and said, "Oh, my dear son, please save us, save us. Just in front of us is an immense forest fire. You are the one and only Lord of Vrindavan. This terrible fire is burning down your home of Vrindavan and rushing towards us with tremendous speed. Only you can put out this fire. There can be no more auspiciousness unless it is extinguished." Seeing his mother, father, friends, and family members overwhelmed with distress, Madhava said, "Do not fear. An ordinary forest fire cannot appear in the transcendental land of Vrindavan." However, Krishna, by his own sweet will, manifested a fire to enchant everyone with his amazing pastimes. The forest fire burned all the dry trees in its path. The leaves on the trees produced a crackling sound as they burned. Frightened animals fled in all directions from the raging fire. Nanda saw the gigantic fire licking the sky with its flames. While observing the forest fire, Krishna thought, "This devastating fire is killing many beasts and threatening the lives of my friends. I feel compassion for the trees whose leaves are burning to ashes, and it hurts me to hear the terrified crying of the cows. The thick clouds of smoke have blinded the poor birds flying overhead. Maddened with fear, the deer are running hither and thither. Under these circumstances, what can I do?" As one pacifies the desires of poverty-stricken persons as soon as they arise, Krishna extinguished the fire as soon as it appeared. It disappeared as quickly as an illusion, a magician's trick, a flash of lightning, an object in a dream, or as the wealth of an unfortunate person. Under the shower of Krishna's merciful glance, the trees, shrubs, and creepers returned to the previous state. Not a trace of the forest fire remained. Observing this, everyone said in amazement, "We talk just like madmen. Where is that fire?" In the evening light, the son of the king of Vrindavan looked very elegant as he entered the town with his coward friends. Krishna, the glory of his family, is filled with boundless bliss and always absorbed in exciting pastimes. He is a nectar shower of mercy and the essence of all good fortune who teaches the laws of love to his devotees. The people of Vrindavan surrounded Krishna and took great pleasure in praising him with the prayers of Gargacharya. Pangs of separation overcame the Brajagopis while waiting for Krishna to return. Although they spent the night like women far from their homes, when they saw Krishna coming, they again overflowed with love.
Na 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 na